Father God, in Jesus' name, we just love you. Tell you what, let's just tune out all the distractions. Anybody get hit with 1,000 distractions on daylight savings? They had an extra hour for everything in the world to distract you. So, Lord God, we just thank you. We thank you for your word, which is your presence. You are present when we read your word and sit in your word in faith, Lord. We're here to meet with you. And we just love you. We love you because you first loved us. You gave your life and you gave your word so we can just become intimately acquainted with you, to know your voice, to know your presence, and follow you every day and make you known to others around us, Lord. Lord, we thank you that we just receive your word, and Lord, we just manifest the fruits of the Holy Spirit in love and joy and peace, patience, gentleness, Lord God. And Lord, outside of that, Lord, we thank you that we overflow in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, because your fruit paves the way for your gifts to be received. And we just want all of you we can get. If that's your heart, you can just raise your hands. And Lord, we just thank you. Holy Spirit, we want all of you we can get. You just say it to him. Holy Spirit, I want all of you I can get. Fill me and overflow in my life to change the world around me. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Yeah, we were originally supposed to have this baby yesterday, and they're like, hey, everything's going so good. How about another week? I said, sure, let's preach some more. So we got a great team lined up. It's going to be wonderful. All right, today, my message, I had a message, and you know what's great? I just always want something fresh. So I rewrote the whole thing yesterday, and I have 24 pages of notes. We'll do a series sometime when I come back. No worries, we'll just chop it off. I'm actually wanting to do something that I always put at the end of my sermon and I never get to do. And I want to just teach you the practicality of hearing God's voice. How many know that, you know, right when you think, oh, I hear him really good, we always want to hear him more clear, right? Right? Especially, like I said, this world's distracting. My goodness. All right, so today's title is Honing in Your Spiritual Senses. Honing in your spiritual senses. The second part of my title, I don't think I'm going to get to, so I just chopped it off. Honing in your spiritual senses. All right. Anyone have a family member or had a family member who needed a hearing aid? Anyone? In my family, that was kind of a thing. You know, it's so funny. It's always that awkward conversation when you're like, I think you might need a hearing aid. They can't even hear you say it. In our family, both my grandparents actually needed them. My grandfather, how many people know the generation that didn't like protect their ears, you know, when we shot guns and things like that or went to war? So my grandfather kind of was quicker to admit he was hard of hearing. And he was always adjusting them. I don't know if you ever sat near him, you'd hear them like beep during the sermons. Now my grandmother on their hand, oh, let me tell you, this is so funny, because you know, we all handle things differently. So my grandfather getting these big honking hearing aids, he really was always trying to work to be a part of things, because he really was just the life of the party. You know, like he wanted to be part of the conversations. He had an incredible sense of humor. And we miss him. He's in heaven now with a lot of our other friends and family and loved ones. Now, my grandmother lived much longer. I mean, she was just sharp of body and mind. But she was a little bit of a tougher cookie when it came to admitting that she needed a hearing aid. I don't know if you ever knew that about my grandma. So it took a little bit longer to convince her, but then she did break down and get them. And she actually just used grandpa's ones because, you know, we're a frugal generation. So she just put those honkers in. Now, my grandma, like, if you've ever been around her, she just, like, loved to be a part of the conversation. I mean, she just wanted to interact. She always had questions. She always had thoughts, like, always wanted to engage. But I remember my grandmother later in life, because a couple years ago she went to be in heaven, they're just a little bit different at family gatherings. I noticed we'd all be sitting around the dinner table, and grandma would always sit, you know, normally like kind of right on the end, you know, the head table or whatever, but it's in the midst of everything. Or we just hang around and talk. That's what our family just eats and talks. Anybody else, that's what our family does? We eat and talk. We do. We're good at eating and talking. And, you know, she'd sit right there in the middle of everyone. But I started to notice she had that like kind of a distant look on her face. she kind of sometimes looked like she was just a little bit elsewhere. And so we'd start kind of raising our voice because we got used to this with our grandfather. And we'd be like, hey, did you hear that, Grandma? I don't want to yell on the microphone. Did you hear that, Grandma? Because you didn't want her to miss like the joke or the funny thing the little kid said. Because, you know, we have lots of kids in our family and they're always saying silly stuff. And she'd say, well, what'd you say? And she was missing things, you know? Or she'd say, you talk too fast. And it was sad because, like I said, she was always so used to being a part of every conversation in the family. You know, she wasn't one to miss things. And I started noticing in her latter part of life, she just kind of seemed a little bit more detached, like a little, you know, frustrated because she couldn't quite hear everything. And that little bit of that boredom set in, and that was not her personality at all. She had stopped enjoying the conversations around her because her hearing had gotten more dull. She just couldn't hear. It wasn't that she didn't want to. She just wasn't able to. And I was thinking about this. I was doing a personal study on hearing from the Lord. And, you know, I think it's the same with a lot of us Christians today. Right? I've said us statements. When it comes to hearing spiritual conversations from the Lord, sometimes our spiritual senses become dull. Does that make sense? And sometimes we're only getting part of the conversation that God is having because he's always talking, right? He's always talking. Man, you know, sometimes I talk to people and it's a common, I don't want to use the word complaint, but concern, you know, that God just doesn't seem to be talking to them, or they'll say on an intimate daily level. But he is always talking. And sometimes, like I said, either we're so busy and distracted, that's what normally happens with me. When I'm busy and distracted, right, it's stress. Oh my gosh. Stress gives you like tunnel vision. Our spiritual senses become dull, and after a while, we're not really using them to the capacity that God intended us to, and they get underdeveloped. Does that make sense? All right, Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11 is kind of a key scripture to this thought, and then we're going to dive into the solution. Hebrews 5:11 says this: since you have become dull of hearing. And the context of this quote is the writer Paul is like, I want to tell you so much more. I want to teach you on so many deeper things, but I can't because of the dull of hearing. And other translations actually translate it of being sluggish. And I think that's a little insulting, so I'm going to lean into dull. But how about this? You know, I think sometimes we're just tired. Anyone besides me? Apparently pregnancy in your 40s is different than your 20s because there's this thing called fatigue. It's like, we're tired. We're running around. Like, you know, and I think that's that catch I found out in more recent seasons. You know, God enlarges your capacity to do more. But if we don't start looking at what we can do to slow down or fruitless areas in our life that we can prune off, we just run ourselves ragged. And when you're tired, you're really not tuned in. You're really just trying to hear for yourself, right? I'm not really not tuned in to hear from God for other people. When I'm exhausted, I'm trying to get through Walmart in like 5 minutes. That is impossible. But hey, faith goals, right? Like you're like, can I get out of here in 45 minutes? No, you're going to meet 20 people you know. And I know people during the holidays, you're like, and you go down the other aisle because you're exhausted and you're hungry, borderline hangry. Come, anyone just being real here? Okay. All right. So what this is talking about, since you become dull of hearing, there's so much more depth that God wants to speak to us about, especially for other people. Because what are we put on this earth for? Number one, to hang out with God. Have adventures every day. Rest with him. The Bible commands you to rest with him. We don't take vacations from God. We take vacations with him, right? And it's, you know, it's so great. Actually, I've been to some of the most beautiful places in the world a long time ago in a faraway place when I was single and had money to go travel. you know, and I've been to these like gorgeous places and cool places and been bored when I don't have that like switch turned on. Does that make sense? Like I want to connect with people. I want to weave my story in there. I want to share Jesus with people. But when I'm exhausted, I'm not there yet. You got to get to that place of refreshing. And that's why the Lord tells you to rest. Okay. Now, what are we talking about? How sometimes our senses. Now, this scripture is talking about our spiritual sense of hearing, not our actual physical ears. You know, we're not talking about you need physical hearing aids, right? This is talking about your inward man, sometimes books call it, or your spirit. The real you that one day you're going to pass on and the real you is going to go to heaven. That real you lives in this body, this shell, okay? And the real spirit inside of us sometimes can become insensitive to spiritual things, either because we're tired or we just haven't developed it, all right? Sometimes we've neglected, besides developing our spiritual senses, we've neglected feeding hunger in the Word. Because if you don't feed your hunger, you're going to lose your taste for certain things, right? The things of the Lord. And sometimes in neglecting spiritual gifts, which I'm going to talk about all these things, things go dormant. You know, it talks about fan the flame of the gifts of God within us, right? So here's my thought. We strengthen what we use, right? We strengthen what we use, like a muscle, a spiritual muscle. We strengthen our faith the more we use our faith. We strengthen the gifts of the Holy Spirit the more we use them. But we tend to weaken what we do not use through active practice. Anyone ever, you know, hey, January is coming upon us. That's when no one wants to go to the gym because what? Everybody and their brother's at the gym. Right? And why? Because they've realized their muscles have atrophied. They can't even find them and they have this goal, but what they're inconsistent, right? We all try to do January and then what? How long does the people last normally, like their New Year's resolutions, like 2 weeks? I don't think we even make a month. Come on, it's the truth, right? And so you got to use it. You got to practice it to strengthen it because if you don't, it weakens. All right. Now I'm going to talk about this. We can be Christians for years, decades. Sometimes people have been like, you know, they came out of the womb. No, I'm kidding, but you know, they've been a Christian a really long time. And if you don't develop your spiritual senses, these gifts or these ears to tune in, we will stay a baby adolescent Christian our entire life. Have you ever met someone that's been a Christian a really, 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 really long time, but they're a baby, baby, baby every time something happens in their life? They wah, wah, wah. They're really self-centered. They make it all about them. They're all emotional. What, these are babies, right? And so the Bible like kind of shines a light on that. And the dangers of staying an adolescent Christian, they're normally ruled by their emotions, easily manipulated, and quickly led astray. And we've kind of talked over the past weeks, you don't want to be the person led astray. Right? That's where weirdo cults come from, right? So we need to what? Develop our spiritual senses because developing it is for the mature, right? So 1 Peter 2:2, like newborn babies says, you must crave pure spiritual milk so that you will grow into a full experience of salvation. That means you just don't sign up for that little prayer and that little fire insurance. You ever been peddled like a little prayer? Hey, just say this prayer. I'll see you on the other side. I'm not saying I won't see you there. I'm just saying there's more. I want to experience his living word, which is his presence every day. All right? And it says, cry out for this nourishment. So we must hunger for more of God, more of his word. His word is his presence, and grow up. And there are all these wild fruits and gifts of the Holy Spirit for a life of more. All right? Hebrews 4:12, it talks about how important it is to sharpen your what? Spiritual discernment. It says, for the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing of soul and spirit, exposes the motives of the heart. How many people know this? You meet people every day and you can get kind of a sales pitch. You ever meet people and you just get like the sales pitch and they show you what they want to show you. They tell you what you want to hear because they want something from you. And it's dangerous. And the Lord's saying this, if you stay full of my word, you read it in active faith, you will start to discern what is of God and what is not, right? All right. And not only we won't be led astray, but also we won't miss opportunities and divine appointments that God is sending you into. All right, Hebrews 5:14, it says, but solid food belongs to those who are of full age or spiritually mature, right? That is those who by reason of use means practice. That means you got to use it. What? Because if you don't strengthen those muscles at the gym, they're going to atrophy, right? All right? By practice, have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. All right. So this scripture is not talking about the outward natural senses, okay? It's talking about the inner spiritual senses. By practicing them, by regularly using them, we strengthen them, okay? To discern what's of God and what's not. All right, now, I want to go into the meat of this, and I'm probably just going to get stuck here because it's so deep and so fun. So now we're going to dive in. How do I want to say this here? Okay, how many people know there are five natural senses? You know, we go back to kindergarten, right? All right, but let's talk about them. So these five natural senses, some people develop them more than others. And some people are committed by training and discipline by their certain natural senses. They develop them to a way that blows someone's mind. You ever meet someone? Let me throw this. There are some people, I had a friend of mine, his name was Nate, oh my gosh, in Oklahoma, and he just looked like this cowboy. I'm telling you, he was like this tall, blonde-haired, blue-eyed cowboy with the boots and everything, but you would never know from the surface. He actually was, he knew a strong Christian guy that was a master jeweler, and he was trying to figure out a trade, and this, you wouldn't even think this would be the guy that becomes a jeweler, but he goes to do, like, I don't know, it's an apprenticeship, and becomes a master jeweler. And what do? They have trained their eyes to discern those precious stones, right? An untrained eye will accept a counterfeit, a flawed stone, right? It looks perfect on the outside, and the trained eye goes, and they get their little, you know, their little thing, and look at other, that was lab created. Okay? But they have trained their natural senses of their eyes to discern real high value. They'll see the quality, the cut, the color, the clarity, the rating. Brad gave me a beautiful emerald. And actually, if you have a trained eye as a jeweler, you don't want the perfect one. Actually, the flaws make it more valuable and precious because it's naturally created. And they can see all this. They've trained their eyes. They've trained their natural senses. They've committed to it. They've practiced it. They've taken time. They've been mentored by people that have developed those senses. All right. How about taste? Okay. I don't know much about any of this stuff. But real talk. If you ever met someone that discerns wines, there's like that. That's their career path. You know. So they've trained their taste that they can actually. You know, they do that weird thing where they put it in their mouth and they like spit it in the cup, be classy about it. I don't know. They make it classy somehow. All right. And they can determine the year of the wine. They can determine if it was an early crop or a late crop. They can determine if there was an abundance of rain or lack of it. All because they have spent years, sometimes decades, honing in their sense of taste. Okay, let's talk about another one. This is probably more my husband. There are musicians, there are sound technicians, there are conductors that train their ears. It's fascinating. And we have some very gifted like creatives and musicians in the room here. I don't know if you've ever met someone that can listen to an entire orchestra, right? And this is the one that makes you nervous, that conductor, and they can hear the one instrument out of the entire orchestra that's ever so slightly off tune. Interesting. They've spent years developing this, okay? All right, how about the sense of smell? Okay, the perfumer, or the perfumeur, I don't know how they say it. The fragrance chemist, I looked it up. They have trained their sense of smell that they can smell the top notes, the undertones, the fragrance. They can tell you if it's citrus, if it's this, if that, all the blended stuff. Blows my mind. All right, how about a professional textile designer? They can just touch one fabric and they can tell you the exact blend and the quality and sometimes even like the silk where it came from. Bananas. These are people that have committed to master and hone in their natural senses. Most of these people were not born with that, but they've committed that they might have had a little natural gifting and I'm gonna practice this. I'm gonna get around people that they can mentor me, I can apprentice under them, and I'm gonna hone in my senses. It's interesting. It takes commitment, and most of anything, it takes practice, doesn't it? So I'm talking today about five spiritual senses. Now I've set you up. Okay, so we have five natural senses, and there are five spiritual senses that are throughout the Old and New Testament in Scripture. We normally just blow on past them because we think it's figurative. So you'll find a lot of these in the prophetic books, and I actually tried to quote a lot of the New Testament books. But if you go through, I love Isaiah. Isaiah has more prophetic words fulfilled about Jesus Christ than any other Old Testament prophetic book. I love Isaiah. I pray through it all the time. And there's Jeremiah. There's so many ones that you'll see this exemplified, okay? So as I go through some of these scriptures, I want you to think about it, that these scriptures are not things that you really, when you think about it, do naturally. They're discerned spiritually. But it talks about these senses, okay? Psalms 119, verse 103. It says, "How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth." I don't know if you tried eating your Bible. My son has. He really like hit up like somewhere between Romans and Acts. Like I have like a giant, there's a lot of tape going on. It's my favorite Bible, okay? It doesn't taste what? There's a taste to God's word that's sweet. All right, this is a spiritual sense. Jeremiah 15, 16, and I am so setting you up to give you some powerful tools on how to sense the Lord for God to minister through you. But I have to set you up with scripture, otherwise you're not going to believe me. You're like, "Pastor Sherry, you're just teaching experiences." I'm not. It's in scripture. You guys down for that? Like, you know, come on. I'm not going to do the culty church here. I'm going to give you some scripture, okay? Jeremiah 15, verse 16, so this is a prophetic book, a prophet, right? And a lot of his things were what? Dreams, visions, senses, okay? It says, "Your words were found," Jeremiah 15, 16, "your words were found and I ate them. Your word was to me the joy and rejoicing of my heart." It's a spiritual sense. It's not so natural, right? All right, how about this? Have you ever had someone that came up to you and said, "I have a word from the Lord from you," and they give you this mumbo jumbo thing, and you just got a bad taste in your mouth. You know what I mean? Not really, but you just left a bad taste. It just didn't, now I'm good. And what do? You throw it out, right? How about this? For anybody on dating apps, don't raise your hand. Brad and I met on one. You know, dating is terrifying. Anybody ever send you a message, or maybe you go meet for coffee and they just start talking, and I dated this one guy a long time ago in a faraway place, so hot, so good looking, oh my gosh, yeah, looked great on paper, went to Bible school, all would just not stop talking about himself, just always talking himself up. What does it leave? Kind of a bad taste. My family told me. It was great, okay? All right, so these are what? Spiritual senses, okay? All right, 2 Corinthians 6:17. Okay, this is New Testament, and it says this: "Come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you." This is the New Testament. It's not talking about, actually, the freedom of the New Testament was talking about like someone that is leprous is not going to make you unclean anymore, right? Does that make sense? Remember, Jesus ran out and met the leper and healed him. It was awesome. It's talking in context to friendships and acquaintances that are drenched in sin that tempt you. Very interesting. You know, we can be friends, and I'll save you a seat on Sunday morning, but I'm not going to meet you at the bar. I remember when that shift happened in my life in my 20s. I was like, "Love you guys. Happy birthday. I'm going to take a babysitting job. I'll save you a seat at church on Sunday. I'll meet you for lunch on Wednesday, maybe dinner on Wednesday, but we're not hanging out on the weekend," right? Because what some of those things, let me put it this way. You ever been around someone that just can't stop gossiping, but they're calling it prayer request time? Yeah, no, you really need to pray. Let me tell you what's going on. I think all of us Christians have fallen into it, and let's repent, okay? But have you ever been someone where it's compulsive? It's just constant. They're just talking bad about people. They're criticizing. They're judging. I think at that point, it's spiritual. Like, you might have partnered with something, okay, right? All right, so at that point, you get around someone like that, like they can't stop talking bad about people. I'm gossiping for prayer requests, religious spirit, okay? You feel like you got to take a shower afterwards. Like, real talk. I just feel dirty in that conversation. I'll leave it. Maybe I should have left it earlier, and spiritual sense, right? So I'm going to repent from even listening to it, because silence is agreement. And next time I see him coming, I'm going to sit on the other side of church. Love ya. I don't want to hear it. All right. Okay, I'm going to do some stories here. All right, here we go. Oh, I got this one. A long time ago in a faraway place, there was someone I would, anytime I got around, anytime they entered the room, I'm just going to be very vague because it's a small church, I felt like my skin felt slimy. Couldn't describe it. just felt slimy. You ever been around someone, they feel a little slimy? Normally it's like a salesy kind of person. But they weren't in sales. I just, like, it made my, I don't want to say my skin crawls, because that says, just didn't feel right. I'm using a natural term to describe something I sensed in the spirit. Now, when God reveals something to you, it's because he's given you the power to bring his healing into it, to bring his freedom into it. So I was in a good, safe place, and my husband was, like, I think, like 10 feet away from me, and I had a leader close by. And so I decided, I was like, you know, I'm kind of tired of this feeling. I just want to leave the room when they come in it. I was like, ugh. So I just noticed that they were not doing good that particular day. They just almost like I walked past them in the aisle, and it just felt like a 1,000-pound weight of depression. Like, this is another, I felt something, okay? You ever had like a weighted blanket in a bad kind of way? Okay, so I went to him, and I've been praying for him for about a month after I've been like sensing this slimy kind of feeling. And I just started asking questions. I didn't come accusatory. I didn't be like, I come around you, I make my skin crawl. Like, come on, y'all. Like, that brings shame and condemnation. No, just start asking questions. And found out they were really like fighting a deep depression. I kind of felt that, because I felt that when I got close to him. And I just started asking questions, like, what's going on in your life? Where are you reading in the Word? Well, I really haven't been in the Word. I was like, duh. Okay. And I was like, well, you know, what have you been up to? I'm just asking questions. I'm not coming there to judge them. And I said, yeah, I kind of reconnected with some old friends. I was like, well, tell me about your friends. They're like a bunch of Wiccans. They're a lot of fun. We go to the bar together. I was like, number one. bring them to church, okay? Like, that's okay. You guys cool with that? Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Right? They're just looking for what? Spiritual things in the wrong place. Okay? But don't go out partying with them, you know? It's like, I don't even need like to see into the spirit to know what kind of weird stuff you're partying with right now. Okay, so he's like, I'm into that. And then, like I said, I had some male ministers around me, and they confessed that they were clicking on some things late at night that wasn't good. I'll just leave it at that. And I said, okay, well, now we know how to pray. I said, so number one, wisdom, come out from among them, be them separate. You know, bring them to church, but don't be partying with people that are playing with Satan. It's not a good idea, okay? And number two, I said, he's just admitted he had an addiction. I wasn't here to make fun of him. I said, okay, let's, you know, Jesus Christ died to set you free. He took every single addiction on the cross. Drug, social addictions, sexual addictions, every capacity, right? Food addictions, he took it all to the cross. It was paid in full 2,000 years ago. So I said, we're going to pray. And number one, let's just repent for, you know, keep going down these paths. You're going to partner with some stuff, right? You know, those demons, I'll tell you, if you keep going down paths of addiction, they're going to attach, right? All right? So I said, let's repent, you know, what you're doing. So we repented, real short prayer, okay? And then I just, in the name of Jesus, I commanded, just what was going on, what I sensed to leave in Jesus' name. I was like, okay, you know, you demon of pornographic addiction, we command you to go in Jesus' name, okay? Depression and anxiety. I'm telling you, when you feel it to that capacity, you're dealing with something a little bit more spiritual. So that spirit of depression, you go in Jesus' name. And I just started praying for his sleep, sweet sleep. We just started praying. That's so beautiful. When I was done, his eyes were just clear. There was a lightness. He said, man, I feel totally different. Never had that problem again. Happily married, just in a totally different place of life. It's just the joy of the Lord. And I never had that feeling, that sense around him ever again. But what did he do? He repented. He got in the word, okay? Shut them doors and stopped doing what he was doing. Does it make sense? All right, I have so many stories. But like I said, I had to give you some scripture. You got me? Okay. There's so much I want to tell you. Fun times. All right, Ephesians 5:2 says, walk in love as Christ also loved us and has given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for the sweet-smelling aroma. Okay, this is not talking about the natural things, right? This is a spiritual thing. So I'm going to use Gerald because I just spotlight. Hey, listen, if you're feeling some sort of way around the holidays, go partner with what Harvest of Blessings doing. Get out of your small world and go let Jesus in and go minister to people. But I'm telling you, if you're ever having a bad day, you go find Miss Gerald. And if you can hug her, oh my gosh, it's the joy. She has contagious joy. And by the way, she's been through some hard stuff. Life isn't easy. But the joy of the Lord is her strength despite her circumstances. And what's so wild, she starts to smell like Jesus. There's just like a joy and a love, and you get that hug. And yes, she has that. I love her perfumes, but I'm telling you, there is an aroma of Jesus Christ on her. And I've met some other people. I've met actually people in my life that I knew there was more because they walked in peace. That was their normal. I remember there was a girl in the youth group and a girl in college. I had nothing in common, but Jesus, little Lizzie at college, she'd knock on your door. She'd want to watch like a PG movie. And I was like, no, lock my door. Pretend like I'm not here. No, but for real, I have so many stories I want to tell. But I was drawn to her. We had nothing in common. Didn't like the same jokes, music, nothing. But she walked in peace and love. And when I got around her, sensed peace and love. It almost kind of got on you. She smelled like Jesus. And I decided I wanted more of that. And as a Christian, I started pursuing the Lord and his word until peace became my normal. And love became my normal. Okay, these are the fruits, right? This is the fragrance of God. 2 Corinthians 2:14 through 16 says this. Now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. For we are the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To the one, we are the aroma of death leading to death. You ever wonder why people just don't like you? They don't like Jesus inside you. Convicts them. I had some students in the young adults program, I think at that point they were in high school, where an entire class turned against them. Because you smile too much. Stop smiling. They had joy and they got persecuted. Like they had a particular shop class. And I was like, it's not you. It's what's inside you. And that light, the darkness doesn't like. So don't take it personal, okay? All right, it says, lead to the other, the aroma of life leading to life. You know, I've talked about Joanne. She was the lady that mentored me. And really, it wasn't official. I started calling her my mentor later when I realized what she was doing in my life. She just was this safe place I could talk to. You know, I could talk to my parents, but, you know, sometimes you just need that person, just another person in your life. And she was really gifted in a lot of these prophetic gifts. And I thank God for it because I realized it could be done well. And not weird. And I remember her telling me, this is very interesting, she would be in certain places around certain people and she'd smell sulfur. And if you've ever smelled sulfur, it's like a rotten egg. It's like a nasty smell. But it wasn't a natural smell. It was a spiritual sense. Because she sensed a demonic presence came in. And I'll tell you, whatever you sense, whatever God's given you the power to get rid of it, right? Right? So in the name of Jesus, go. Because what she was then, I smell something. I'm going to go minister to that person. I'm going to ask questions. I'm not going to be like, you smell like sulfur. Why'd you just step out of hell? Where'd you come from? You know, no. And actually, Joanne was a very joyful person. She's pretty direct, but she'd make you laugh or whatever. So what, you go ask questions and go find out what they're going through and then tell that thing to go in Jesus' name. You know, come on, get them filled with the Holy Spirit and the word. Whatever, I'm telling you, whatever he reveals, he has given you the power to bring healing and freedom to. Isn't that great? All right. If I didn't give you all these scriptures, you'd be like, where are you getting this from? Okay, here we go. Psalms 26, verse 9. It says, for with you is the fountain of life. In your light, we see light. Sight. Spiritual sight. Okay, I talked a little bit more about this last week, about vision. So you remember when Paul was on the road to Damascus and the light from heaven, the presence of Jesus Christ was so bright, he became blind. And there's so much more to tell you. I think that's like, Acts 9 or 10, right around in there. There's so much I want to say. Thank you, Lord. There's like a light, there's a presence, I'm telling you. Like, and once again, we all have different ways that we sense the Lord. I'm a very visual person. I'm not normally a feely, I'm not like the tingly kind of person, but I really just get these God daydreams all the time. But as I was doing this study, you could use that as an excuse. Well, I'm not a feeler, I'm not a smeller. You know, okay. No, but just be open to however the Lord wants to talk to you. Don't put him in the box, all right? Because I think a lot of times we're just missing stuff, All right. And don't get into the, remember we talked about, because I did a really clear teaching on discernment, that it is not the excuse to have judgment and criticism of people. Does that make sense? Your discernment is not you being judgy. Okay. You got to be full of the word. And that means you're in the fruits of the Holy Spirit, which is not, the fruit of the Holy Spirit is not judgment and criticism. The fruit of the Holy Spirit, you don't get beside someone and see all the bad in them. I'm going to expose them. I'm going to call them out. No, that's not the fruit of the Holy Spirit, is it? The fruit of the Holy Spirit sees people not as they are and as they called to be. You see them in faith and you call it out in faith. This isn't who you are. Go and sin no more. Follow me. Now, hey, you wild woman that, you know, everybody's talking about, you go be the best evangelist in your city. I'm going to call you an evangelist. Everybody else calls you a different thing. But I'm calling you an evangelist. Now go, what? Preach the gospel to your city. All right. Go back and listen to those teachings. I had some fun. Because before I could go into this, we had to teach it so it goes in the right way. Does that make sense? All right, here we go. We're going to talk about dreams a little bit here. I have this, so God would talk to me in dreams. And sometimes we just don't know he's talking to us. You normally just can't shake it. But I remember when talking to my dad, as I would get these weird, creepy dreams. And I just, you know, you'd be frolicking around and having fun, doing whatever you're doing in your dream. And all of a sudden, what was light and bright, you know that little dimmer switch in the back? I'd be having a dream. And all of a sudden, the light in my dream would go dim. Because something else just came in. And then things got a little twisted. And then things got creepy. And then things, you're like, wow, I feel gross because I'm even dreaming this. And I'd wake up and I'd go, that wasn't me. That was a presence that came in because things got dim. Things got dark. Things got twisted. Now, I might be explaining things and some of you guys are giving me the 45-degree head nod like, I don't know what you're talking about. That's okay. But some people do because what? God talks to us in different ways. But he will talk to you in dreams. And what God is light and in him there is no darkness. Okay? How about this one? This is a really simple one that I think most people in this room will experience when you're reading the word and just one scripture pops off the page. Couldn't tell you anything I read for 3 pages. It's morning. But there's that one scripture that God is what? Highlighting. Do you see it in fluorescent yellow? Probably not. Some people might. But it just kind of has a pop. There's a light to it. It's alive. He's talking to you. And I'll tell you, that's the way he talks to all of us. And if you're not getting talked to like that, the rest of these things just kind of throw out for a while, okay? Because it's not going to be safe unless it's in the guide rails of his word. All right, talked about that. All right, I remember, and this happens every once in a while, in deep places of worship, I would get this sense. I was like, anybody, I had to throw out my contacts this morning because they were so old because I'm so cheap. I mean, I'll use them for 6 months. I don't even care. Okay? And my left eye was getting a little foggy. And I'd like scrubbing it. I was like, forget it. I'm throwing them out and wearing my glasses. Okay. I've been in worship services where there's this fog, but not a dark fog, like a light fog comes rolling in. Anyway, it's called the glory cloud. Not everybody sees it. Sometimes you feel it. So the glory comes from this word, kabod. I'm off my notes. And it means God's weighted presence. The weighted presence of God. So some people see, I would see this kind of, it just like felt like kind of foggy, misty, but not dark, like bright. Like the sun was shining through it. And I just close my eyes and go, I'm not going to overthink. I'm just going to, hey, you're here. I mean, he's always here, but it's like when he comes in with extra. You know, when someone comes in the room quietly, I mean, Jesus is always in the room. But man, when we honor him, when we make our song all about him, there's just something about, there are songs that he sings over us, right? There are songs that we sing to him. And my favorite songs, when I feel the presence of God, is when I'm just singing about him and his glory. All hail King Jesus. Why does that song just always like make people like, it grabs you? Why? Because it's all about him. And it's normally in these moments of the all about him moment, I get this sense. Because I see some people sense, sometimes that you see people kind of go to their knees. Like there's this, not weight, bad weight. It's like, he's so here. And he's so real. I just want to tell everything in my brain and my body to be quiet
And I'm just going to surrender it. It's oftentimes when people will come to their knees, or some people will sit down. Like, don't, like, I had to sit down because I got a big baby going on here. But, like, there's just something about, like, they go, I'm just going to not move. And I'm just going to surrender. I've been in places of worship where I'm like this, because, you know, I'm like this a lot. And all of a sudden, I'm like this. And I don't even realize it. But there's just this, he's so big. It's not a bad heavy. It's like a the best kind of comforter blanket, and I'm just kind of bowing in his presence. You might say, I've never had that. That's okay. But then you won't judge someone when they're doing that. Does that make sense? Because we're all what here a little different. But don't just disqualify it. I think the more we develop our what tune in time with God, the more these things. I don't preach an experiential gospel. What I've been preaching for like 6 weeks is like, you got to go the word, you got to go the word, you got to go where guardrails, don't make it weird, don't get, you know. But now it's safe to teach these things. All right. Because if you don't teach it in church, they're going to go down to the wicked place in the hollow and just get all not good. Okay. You hear me, right? There are people that are having spiritual experiences with the wrong spirit. I got Holy Spirit, who's full of love, joy, peace, freedom, healing. I'm going to create space for that. I'm not going to force it. I'm not going to push it. That'll do damage. But I'll create space for it. All right. Here we go. Here we go. All right. I can't remember if we did this scripture. Ephesians 1, 18 through 19. The eyes of your understanding, he praying, the eyes of your understanding, eyes, spiritual eyes, be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what are the riches of his glory, of his inheritance to all the saints. Is he talking about natural eyes or spiritual eyes? Perceptions, okay. 1 Kings 18, 41 through 42. And Elijah said to Ahab, go up, eat and drink, for there is the sound of an abundance of rain. I love art. I love abstract art because you just see different things in it. I don't know who decorated the church. I love abstract art. And I remember going to some, because I get them all at Home Goods or some disc. Actually, one of my teens during a party punched his hand through the wall because he missed the ball. And we just got two pieces of art for Christmas Sunday because you just thank God Home Goods was open till 10 that night. Okay. Boom. It's fine. All right. I was at some discount store, and there was just this little piece of art, and I looked at it, and now God can talk through what art? I'm telling you. It was really cool. The Holy Spirit came upon the craftsmen in the Old Testament, the craftsmen that built the temple. So you carpenters and you electricians and you people that serve the Lord with great excellence and literally build the house of the Lord. Are you painters? Are you crafters? God's spirit will come upon you when you're doing it with him. And he'll get all the glory. Musicians. I'm telling you, read it in the Old Testament. It's really wild how God kind of moved through the creative things. Anyway, I saw this piece of art and I heard that scripture. And I was like, I'm going to get in faith for revival, personally, because I was going through the worst season of my life at that time. Worst season of my life. Personally, ministry, friendship, everything was imploding. It was not the happy season. It was the hell season. And I left, and then I went back like 3 days later and bought it. It was like probably like $20. And it still hangs in my kitchen to this day. And every time I look at it, I go, and I hear the sound of an abundance of rain, a revival. And now guess what? I'm living it. God prophesied that no matter how dark it is and how awful it is, guess what? He's coming. I had to receive it by faith. There's so much. I know. I'm having fun here. I remember, so Nevin used to be the worship director here, and he met this beautiful girl named Jacqueline at summer camp. And he wasn't ready. This is another story. He didn't see it. You know, they didn't even like each other at camp. It's all about timing. Because one day she wore this little dress for our camp prom. And I'll tell you, he's like, hey, can I talk to you after? I'm an idiot. Let's start dating. That married a year later, okay? God will highlight someone in the right timing, okay? That wasn't my story. But Nevin, I'm a C kind of person normally, but sometimes I hear. Nevin would just hear. He'd just hear. It was just like, and it's interesting, he was a musician. I actually honestly think my husband's a little bit better at hearing
than I am. So sometimes when I'm emotional, there's something I was emotional about. And I go, Brad, I'm emotional right now. I'm having a hard time hearing. He hears from God really good. So I remember Nevin sharing these stories of just hearing a little bit more. So I've heard of services where all of a sudden you'd hear rain and there was no rain. Like those little goofy rain sticks from the 1990s jungle stores, you remember those? They were hearing something and God was saying, hey, I'm moving, there's revival rain right now, okay? You're like, where is this going on? Okay, Pastor Sherry, remember Acts chapter 2, verse 2? They were up in the upper room and there was a sound of a rushing, mighty wind. It probably sounded like a hurricane up there. I don't think anybody in the street heard that. But what they heard coming out was tongues later, and they were prophesying about the glory of God, okay? There are sounds that God is what using to affirm and direct us of what he wants to do so we can partner with it in faith. Okay, Revelations 2, verse 7. So there's tons of prophetic books in the Old Testament. The primary prophetic book in the New Testament is Revelations. Lots of seeing and hearing and all this symbolism. Revelations 2, 7, the angel said to John, he who has an ear, everybody grab your physical ear. Is it talking about this ear? He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says. That's that still small voice we talked about. Sometimes it's out here, but I'd say the 99.9% of the time, it's the still small voice in here. And you're going to have to, what, quiet yourself to hear it. All right. Now, on the other side, like I said, it was so funny. Dad prayed for me to have the discerning of spirits, and he got all the cool stuff with the angels. And, man, I would just get the other stuff. It wasn't fun. I remember, I was going through a very, very horrible time in my life, dark time in my life. And I remember being awake but not awake and hearing footsteps. I could hear them on the carpet. Not good way. Walk, walk, walk. I heard two steps of footprints. And then I sensed something press on top of me, press in my face. Like, I mean, you ever someone get in your face? Like, in my face. And there was such a shield around me, they couldn't get in. Because in their darkest time, you better be saturated in the word. You better be prayed up. There was no place for that creepy thing to go. Two of them. In the name of Jesus, you get out of here. Sometimes the Lord will open your ears. Sometimes you'll see. I remember having a voice come to me at night. You ever have like a dark thought? And you're like, is that me? What's going on? Well, I'll tell you, when I heard it with a snake slither. Well, that ain't Jesus, let me tell you that. So I knew that voice wasn't from God. So I was like, better go in Jesus' name. Listen. God, I'm not telling you, you might never have these experiences, but you might have a friend that does, and you tell them they're not crazy. Okay, they probably just have what different gifts and sensitivities. Okay. All right. Ooh, what are we going to do here? It's important to develop and strengthen and train to hone in what your spiritual senses. Okay, five ways to do it. I'm just going to plow through it. Here we go. Five ways to strengthen, train, hone in your spiritual senses. Number one, fast your distractions. Pastor Sherry, I'm too busy to be distracted. Busy is your distraction. Number one problem of us Americans, myself, fast distractions. Well, I can't think of anything I could prune off. Well, then you better really pray because there's something we're blind to. Fast the distractions, okay? Number two, double up on your quiet time in the word, in the written word of God. Because Romans 12, verse 2 says this, renew your mind in the word daily and you will learn to know what God's will for you is, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Number three, I'm going to do this fast because I want to get to like a really strong nugget at the end. Obedience to his word. So number one, fast the distractions. Number two, double up that quiet time in the word because, you know, I've just decided to fast that one silly thing that is really unnecessary for a season. So now I got an extra 45 minutes or 20 minutes or just 10. And I'm going to spend more time in the word. When you renew your mind, you scrub that down. Your senses get sharpened. It's like I had to clean my glasses because I don't wear these very often. You got to clean off them lenses, right? Renew your mind. And I was worshiping and the Lord said, you better make sure you talk about offense. You want to tune in your spiritual senses? Probably the number one thing that is keeping you from hearing the voice of the Lord is unforgiveness. I don't have any unforgiveness in my life. An offense. I don't have any offense in my life. How about every time you hear that person's name or you see them, you get feeling some sort of way? I think even pastors have struggled with offense every week because people are jerks. Stop, you hyper spirit. I don't have any offense in my life. I've heard so many older Christians that I'm like, you are being immature because maturity is humble. If you are not struggling with some sort of forgiveness and offense in your life, you are living in a hole, not doing any life with people. People will be a jerk to you. Stop taking it so personal. So you better probably search your heart. I'm telling you, the best way to do it, I have times of worship and I go, God, search my heart. And I start thinking of this person. And it's like, I got to bless them. How do I bless them? I want to bless them out of York County. Lord, I bless them in everything they are called to do. I pray mercy over them. Because then you're in the right spirit. Mercy triumphs over judgment. That's New Testament. That's Jesus. All right. So much. Hebrews 5:9, in this way, God qualified him, Jesus, as the high priest. He became the source of eternal salvation for all those who obey him. Okay? You know, the parable of the sower and the word, the moment God speaks for you to do something, you better write it down and go do it. Because if you backburner that thing, that's called delayed obedience, that's called disobedience, that will clog your pipes. Offense, unforgiveness, busyness, disobedience, clog your pipe to not hear. Because when God says something, you better believe he's going to send them birds of distraction and irritating people that get you feeling some sort of way so you're not going to go on your mission to go tell that person about Jesus. Or how about this? Just invite him over for dinner. Not everything's as hyper-spiritual as we think. All right, so much. 4, I'll teach a whole big series about it in January, praying in the Holy Spirit, praying in tongues in your prayer language. You want to clean them pipes? If you're mad, you start praying in the Spirit. Give it about 10 minutes. It works faster than Prozac. I'm telling you, pray in the Spirit, okay? So much I want to do about this one. 1 Corinthians 14:4, a person who speaks in tongues is strengthened personally, but the one who speaks a word of prophecy strengthens the entire church. So I could teach this for 45 minutes. Jude 1:20, but you, dear friends, must build each other up in your most holy faith. Pray in the power of the Holy Spirit. Praying in tongues builds me up. That's great. Guess what? We're in a whole big church. It's not going to help the person beside you. So ask God to interpret it, and you might see, you might hear, you might think. You might just keep thinking of that person across the room, but you never sit on that side. This is my side. And so get off your mind. My son just started saying, mine. I was like, oh, that's a sign of spiritual immaturity. Baby. So stop saving your seat for Jesus and go during worship and go move beside them and invite them to lunch. You don't have to spiritualize everything, okay? But it is spiritual, isn't it? All right, so much. So to prophesy, 1 Corinthians 14:3 means to build up, strengthen, encourage, comfort. So if you're praying in the Spirit, or how about this? Even if you haven't gotten to that prayer language yet, but I get into that focused, deep place with the Lord, away from all the distractions where my heart and my soul is open. God, search me. Oh, God, I'm just in the zone with him. Now, what do you want to talk about? What would you like me to do? You might get a scripture. You might get a thought. Sometimes you're going to get your most creative ideas in this place. Write it down. You're not being distracted. God is giving you solutions to the things you've been praying about the last 4 months. You might be like, I'm just not spiritual because every time I go to pray, I just keep thinking about things I forgot. I keep thinking about work. I was like, are they solutions? Did he just show you that the keys are in the freezer? You've been looking for 2 hours? Write it down. We beat ourselves up and God is what? Talking to us. He is actually so practical. Write it down and go do it. It's so funny. Once you kind of write it down, you kind of get a release, right? So don't beat yourself up. I'm so unspiritual. I'm so distracted. He's probably talking to you about someone you're supposed to go, what, hang out with. All right. Go back and listen to last week's message because I'm going to skip over some really practical things on hearing his voice. And I just want to touch on something really quick. I can do it, I think, in 3 minutes because it might be till January when I get to go in deep. All right, there are 3 different revelation gifts are in 1 Corinthians 12. So much I want to say. Discerning of spirits is when God opens up the veil in the spirit world. You see angels, you see demons, you see Jesus. Not everybody has this gift, but whatever he does has a purpose to it. So be ready to go in with healing and tell bad stuff to go and release the good stuff of God. Words of knowledge, words of wisdom, I've talked about in the weeks past and the prophetic words, but I just want to hit this really quick. There are different ways that God can talk to us through what these spiritual senses. Write this down. I don't have time to develop it, so I'll do it in the future. You can feel it. Is everybody a feeler? No, I'm not a feeler. People are like, I really feel them. I'll be like the last one standing. I feel nothing. Am I unspiritual? No. So stop making the other person feel unspiritual. You didn't feel it. You didn't get the goosebumps. You didn't get the tingles. Not everybody's like that. But some people do feel, okay? For it comes with words of knowledge for healing, some people have a sensation. Like all of a sudden, like they don't have problems in their knee, but their left knee just like has a weird feeling. It's uncomfortable, pain, or just a weird, weird sensation. That's because you're praying for someone and God's saying, the power of God is here now to heal their knee. And all of a sudden you think of field hockey and you're like, hey, weird question, not trying to make it weird, but like maybe don't say weird. I said, hey, just curious, do you have a knee injury? Did it happen during your short field hockey career in high school? Yes, guess what? The power of God is here to heal you. In the name of Jesus, I command that pain to go. Release the healing power of God. Why? Because it increases their faith. All right? Some people read it. This doesn't happen to me, but some people like see like, you know, like the stock market ticker tape. They'll just kind of like see above someone's forehead. Maybe they'll just see a word depression. Maybe they'll see like insomnia. They just see a word on them. Well, God's telling you, just go up to them. Don't make it weird. Hey, I could be wrong, but do you struggle with depression and insomnia? Okay, can I just pray for you? God wants to heal that right now. How'd you know that? I think God's telling me, but what increases their faith? All right. See it. I think I've talked a lot about that. It's like a God daydream, a mental picture, an impression. For some people, it's really, mine just is kind of fuzzy, like a little like the back of the classroom when the teacher calls on you and I'm just a million miles away. But for other people, it's like an open vision, like Acts chapter 10 with Peter on the rooftop. That's okay. Don't worry about it. Okay. Some people think it. You ever just, there's like a knowing. I get this one all the time. I'm talking to someone and I just like keep thinking. It's like, I know. Like you ever just get that knowing? You can't describe it. Like it's a mom's sixth sense. Mom, right? I know where the weed's at. God would always tell my mom where the weed was at, right? Mom, you just knew it. You pray, you just knew it. Did she have the sixth sense for weed? No, she just knew it. Okay? Like you might just be thinking it over and over again. Maybe you get around somebody and you just keep thinking pill addiction, pill addiction, pill addiction. Don't go shaming them. Just go start praying for them. Right? Okay? Say it. You ever been praying for someone and you just blurt something out? You're like, I don't know why I'm praying for your grandma right now. But does your grandma battling cancer? It just kind of came out of my mouth. Well, guess what? God's not going to reveal it unless he's going to heal it. Right? Okay, I've talked about dreams. Remember Pilate's wife? She kept having this dream. So you might have a dream, and then all of a sudden things are playing out just like your dream. God was trying to talk to Pilate's wife that says, you don't want anything to do with the execution of the Son of God, right? God will talk to you through dreams. I've had a lot of dreams about family members needing protection. And I wake up and I just pray protection over them. I'll pray in the spirit. I'll pray everything I need to know until peace comes in. God talks a lot through dreams. Last one is experience it. You'll just have this experience and you're like, you have something weird, but you're supposed to pray. Brad and I had our fire alarm go off like, I don't know, 4 times last weekend. We checked everywhere. There was no, I don't know. But we just prayed. We prayed for our friends. We prayed for us. We prayed for our church family for protection. And is this about fire? I don't know, but we just kept praying. And then we had a congregation member that had to leave early because they left something plugged in and they like, this could burn our house down. They told me later, it's like, maybe I was praying for you. I don't know. But sometimes we have these experiences. I've been at conferences where my cell phone goes off and calls 911 3 times. I didn't do it. I didn't. God was getting my attention, though. Let me tell you. God, where are you getting my... There are things that happen. All right, let's stand up and pray. I hope I wet your palate for some more of God. And let me tell you, I'll give you 1,000 scriptures because I don't teach an experiential doctrine. I teach the word of Jesus Christ. But I'll tell you, he is wild, he is wondrous, and if you don't teach these things in church, they're going to go down to the weirdo place. They're going to get extra weird, okay? And then you're going to have to pray for them to get all the stuff broken off them that they got on them. So we might as well teach it at church, amen? All right. Thank you, Father. Father God, we're just doing this short. Lord, we love you. We thank you for your word. And Lord, we thank you that you made us all different. God, I love the diverse body of Christ. Our family is a cornucopia of different types of people, Lord God. You wired us all different, and we need each other because we are better and stronger together. And I thank you that we value your word first and foremost. We search scriptures, Lord God. And I thank you that we're going to sharpen our spiritual senses by staying in your word, because then we know your voice. And Lord, I thank you that you're helping us when someone might be struggling because they don't really know why they keep having this dream over and over and over again, or why they go into the break room and they get around that one person and they just almost feel depressed every time they get around them, but they move and then they're not, because you want to bring healing and freedom to that person. Lord, we just thank you. Like the sower and the seed, as soon as we receive something, Lord, we're going to act on it. Lord, we love you. We're not going to hyper-spiritualize stuff. So I'm just say this. Lord, if there's anyone in this room you want us to go to lunch with today, just show us their face. Bring their name. Let us think of them right now. If there's anyone you want us to pray for, if there is a scripture you want us to share to encourage someone, we want to be quick to hear, quick to sense, quick to obey. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, have a great day. If you'd like to pray about anything, or if you have questions, there was so much I didn't get to